important message. Matter of fact, I gave just a little bit of it. I only have like 2-3 minutes before a ball game on Friday night to talk to the team. I'm usually the last one that talks to them in the locker room before they huddle. I talk to them and we pray in Jesus' name. And I talk to them. And I talk to them on the field throughout the week. But that talk right there before that game, they're dressed, they've already done their workouts, they've walked through the things, that they've seen all the film, they practiced all week long. And that's showtime. It's the battle. We played North Fort Myers Friday night. North Fort Myers, I believe, is where Deion Sanders went to school. It's a powerful school. But now other schools have popped up in Fort Myers, and that takes away from some of them. But it was a good team. It's a good team. I think from looking at them and looking at us, they look better than we did as far as, you know, stature and maybe even their natural raw talent. But I talked to the guys. Not that my talk had anything to do about it, but I believe this about them all the time. You know, boys, I told them, you know you've been taught. You know what to do. You have it up here. That's Christians too. We got it up here. So I talked to them like that. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Heart is where it happens. The will to win, to persevere, to fight, to play through pain as if you don't even hurt. How about give it some heart tonight? Heart! And they go, I say, say it with me, say it with me. Heart! Come on, church! Heart! Come on, like the ball team. Heart! Come on! Heart! Come on! Heart! Come on! Heart! Now let's pray together and go whip some tail. Come on. That's my little job. But so much of what I say comes out of my week studying. Isn't that a neat thing? That I live in a country in America where I can go do that with youngins. Amen? And by the way, how'd the ball game turn out? Again, wasn't a thing about anything I said. They had the knowledge. They could have done this any week. They lacked heart other weeks. They came out and stopped them. When they got the ball kicked off, they stopped them on defense. Then we got the ball, bang, bang, 7 points. They get the ball again, we stop them. We get the ball back, bang, bang. Now we got 14 points. They believed us. We believed. The other team didn't believe. And our team kept believing. The other team kept not believing. They didn't quit, but the end of the score was like 50-something to 7 or something like that. I think it was something like that. Or 14, I forget. I think it was just 7. What's the point? Here's the point. Inside of you is something called heart. And if you dig down deep, it's amazing what you can accomplish. Did you hear me? And that is so true of us in our Christian walk and following Christ. We're going to fly now, Rog. I'm going to do my best to run through it. And we'll see what we can do to get you out of here. I looked at my messages. The one in the second service are running about 10 minutes longer than the first service. I'm going to try to do better, but not today. Here we go. Here we go. Triple crown discipleship. Follow the leader. Let's go, church. Are y'all ready? Say. Come on, let's go. Here we go. Triple crown discipleship. We've looked at Jesus' crown of humility, born in the flesh, crowned with flesh. Jesus Christ, humanity, then humility. He was ethical. He was a servant. He had character. And then today, Jesus' crown of honor. Now, this is the crown of glory. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Let's look at this today. The message, Jesus, the crown of honor, thinking about discipleship, and I think you'll see it all connect if you'll stay here with me. Jesus Christ, the Lord gave me this week in office. Here it is. Jesus Christ ran the race and won the race for the human race. Amen? He ran the race and He won the race for the human race. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, the angel said, and He shall save His people from their sins. That's what He did, didn't He? Amen. John the Baptist saw Jesus come and said, Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
And sure enough, that's exactly what he did, didn't he? He took that sin away, defeated death, hell, and the grave. He see what Jesus did? How about Hebrews 12:2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher of our faith. That's exactly what he did. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he's now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The crown of honor. The crown of glory. Say that with me. Jesus Christ ran the race and won the race for the... Now, can we say a little more energy? Here we go. Jesus Christ ran the race and won the race for the... Amen. Come on. That's a champion right there. That's someone you can follow. That's our leader, Jesus Christ. Amen. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Jesus. He's given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every what? Knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every what? Tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So he's been exalted. The crown of honor, the crown of glory has been given to the champion, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? See, guys, we can follow this kind of leader. He wants to empower us to follow him, to make a difference, to change our world according to the working of his what? Mighty power, which he wrought in Jesus when he raised him from the dead. He set him now at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world but also in that to come, has put all things under his what? And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. There's where we are. Look at us. There we are, church. We in it. Come on. Isn't that pretty good? Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Jesus Christ called the disciples. He said, follow me. I'll make you what? Fishers of men. We're part of that same team to follow our leader. Listen, but now our leader, he's high. He's exalted. He's in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. He ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for us. Jesus Christ, say it with me. He ran the race and he won the race for the human race. He's our leader. He's high and lifted up. But I ain't done showing you. This is just the intro. Look at this stuff. This is incredible. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him, say it with me, was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he does judge and make war. Now, this is Jesus, guys. You might not have ever seen Jesus like this. You'll see him like this if you read your Bible. His eyes were as a what? Flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. Are you kidding me? He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name, say it with me, is called the Word of God. That's our Savior Jesus. And the armies which were in heaven, they followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. They were white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Read 16 with me now, church, and say it with me. Come on, here we go. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, help me now, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't ever doubt this crown Jesus has. This crown of glory, this crown of honor, seated now far above at the right hand of the throne of God, that's our leader. Y'all hearing me? You should never question following Jesus. Do you hear me? It's not about him. He did it all. He's absolutely perfect and victorious. All comes back to us, poor followers. Y'all hearing me? Come on. We can do better. Discipleship. Following the Lord. That's what we've been talking about. Jesus, crown of honor. I want you to just take a look at Jesus, and I want you to see some things about us as well. From this different crown, we're talking about being a disciple. I am absolutely convinced, and it's okay if others have a different view. I'm not going to fight about it. I'm living my life the way I think I ought to live my life. Amen? And here's what I believe. I believe being a disciple of Jesus Christ is about loving Jesus and loving people. Period. I don't think it's about me knowing more or getting a position or doing something this way or that way. I believe it's about me loving Jesus and loving people. Anything that I do, anything that I know, anything that I learn, anything that I am, is all for me to love Him and to love people. Do you understand that? But you can't forget the people part. So often in discipleship, we get more knowledge. But Paul said, if I have all knowledge, you know, and faith even, that I could remove mountains, and I don't have love, I'm a tinkling brass and sound, and it's like a cymbal. I'm worthless. Is that true? You think Jesus, who's high and exalted and lifted up and He's above everything, you think He needs me to, you know, to get more of me? I mean, to think more of me and to be more, and I'm thinking about me, and it's all about me, and me just get more. You think that's what it's about? Or you think He left me here because other people need help? And He wants me to follow Him. He's empowered me to do that. Y'all listening? Y'all right? That's what it's all about. So let's look at Jesus and think about us. Here He is. Jesus Christ, say that with me, was meek. Let's look at that. Now, the word meek sounds like weak, but the word meek does not mean weak. A person who is meek, often we think of them as a person, well, that person might be weak. And that'll fly a lot of times until you meet some big old strong rascal who's meek. He'll choke you to death if he had to. You know what I'm saying? He'll take your head and just pop it right off your shoulders. And I've met so many meek people in my life. But this is what Jesus was. He was meek. What does the word mean? It means what? Strength under. Can you imagine the Pharisees getting in his face and people doing the things they did to him and him not absolutely knocking the tar out of them or just, you know, zapping them? Can you believe that strength under control? Can you believe the meekness this man had? Say yes or no. Come on. He was meek. That's got to be part of me. Now, Jesus Christ, the word meekness, if you've been around me for a while, you know, I'll use this thinking sometimes. The best picture of meekness is the war horse. The war horse. The war horse. And that's what Jesus Christ was. He was the war horse. When He was on this earth, are you kidding me? For 33 years, that's who He was. He's a war horse. The war horse runs with his lungs. He perseveres with his heart. He wins with his character. Would you say that with me? He runs with his lungs. He perseveres with his... And he wins with his... Now, I told the ball team that about 2 weeks ago. Come on, say that with me again. He runs with his... He perseveres with his... And he wins with his... We talked about character last week. Jesus was ethical and he had character. Incredible character. And that's how he won. He won people over. He won crowds over. People followed him because they knew that he could be trusted. You understand? He loved people. He was a friend of folk. Okay? But the war horse was meek. Say that with me. Jesus Christ was a... It even sounds a little funny. I thought it might be disrespectful when I put the message up, but I don't think so. Say it with me. Jesus Christ was a... Because you know what I mean. Oh, he ran with his lungs. He ran the race that was set before him. Amen? And he fought or persevered with his heart. And he won with his character. That's my Savior. Jesus Christ ran the race and he won the race for the human race. Hebrews 12:2. I about just quoted it again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, he ran. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He persevered with his heart, despising the shame. He's now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He despised the shame, but he lived right through it as a man of character. Did you see that? This is our Savior. So Jesus Christ was meek. He ran with joy. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He is now crowned with what? Honor. Okay, this is our Savior. Why, Gary, are you pointing out Jesus so much? Because He told the disciples, and we're talking about discipleship, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. I got to keep focusing on Him so we can know what to follow. Are you hearing me today? Amen? And you and I follow Him, and hopefully others can see our walk and our love and our perseverance and our character. And they can also follow with us. Amen? Discipleship. Loving Jesus, loving people. So number one, Jesus was meek. Number two, Jesus' impact was, say this word with me, enduring. One more time. Jesus' impact was what? Enduring. 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 People can say whatever they want to about me, and it ain't about me, but I am going to say this statement. I've been here 31 years in Englewood. Period. 31 years. And so at least people know. Nothing else. You got to give it to him. He's lived here that long. He didn't move away. Amen. Okay? I hope they can say a little bit more than that. But the point is, I want Fellowship Church to be enduring. Did you hear me? I don't want us just to... It's okay to meet in a storefront. I understand that. It's okay to meet here at the high school. I understand that. But I would like us to have a ministry that endures. We plant something. We build something. We pay for it. We get it up and running, man. We're reaching people for Christ and growing and reaching more. When people come to Englewood in this area, when churches come up, like Fellowship Church. Why? To make us proud? No! Get our name out there. Just spell it right. Amen. Come on. Because we want people to come. Amen? Say. Enduring, not a flash in the pan. We never respect people that are flash in the pan. Say. You know how many flash in the pans I've met in ministry over the years? Somebody guess. Thousands. Enduring. Amen. You listening? Where did I get such a crazy idea? Jesus. Jesus' impact was what? Enduring, man. Look at this. What's enduring mean? Something that what? Survives, lives, and thrives. Enduring is something that's a lasting impact. Now, what's that got to do with our walk? Well, Jesus was enduring. What's that got to do with my walk? My goodness. I want to be the kind of follower that's following the Lord, that as I'm meeting people and loving people and reaching out to people, there's a lasting impact that's made. You understand? Not that they remember so much me, but they remember my love for them, my character. And they know that that love and that character came from who? His following Jesus, His walk with God. Do you understand that or not? Enduring. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave forever, changing the world. I want you to see, I could just give weeks' messages on this stuff right here, but I just summarized it real quick. The change that Jesus Christ made on our planet. From His idea of humility and forgiveness to the value of man. Jesus came into the Roman world when Rome ruled the world. But from the value of man, but also the incredible value of who? Women and children. When a man in the Roman world was married, it meant nothing. It meant that it did not mean he couldn't go have sex with anybody else he wanted. He can go do whatever he wants to because he's a man and you just hush up and shut up. That's the way it was. Matter of fact, when they had a child, if it was a man child, you'd raise the man child. I mean, by law, you raised that child. If it was a female child, you could throw the child out. Put it out in the street to die. That was a law. That was okay. And then this man Jesus comes along. And I'm going to be honest with you. The church, not the church, but the established religion of Judaism at the time didn't seem to have a great deal of respect either for women. Did you hear me? Yes or no? And you can see it if you read carefully the disdain that many of them had for women when you're reading your Bible next time. They also did not value children. Did you understand what I said? That's why when little children came to him, even his own disciples said, get them out of here. Is that what they said? Sure they did. That's the world they came. Jesus changed all that, ladies. Can we give Jesus a hand, ladies? Come on. Come on right now. Thank you, Jesus. The impact of Jesus is enduring. Oh, he was just a good man. You need to lose that kind of thinking. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He's the ultimate God. He is the only God. Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. Amen? Say, you hear me today? The impact that he made on marriage, giving value to marriage, telling a man to love his wife like Christ would love the church. I know that's in the epistles. That's from God. We believe the scriptures are God-breathed. Okay? So, to divorce, to talking about it. Okay? And not just forbidding it, but absolutely giving us understanding of what it was about. He did that. They didn't do that in his day. You understand? Say. To money. To dealing with money. Even the story of the rich young ruler. Remember the guy? Rich young ruler? He kept all the commandments. I've done this. I've done that. Remember that? Good. Great. You're great. Beautiful. Then he said, well, just go sell all you have and give it to the what? Sounds like to me, if you really want to be a follower of me, he's saying, why don't you take your money and use it to love people? And he went away sad. And a lot of Christians go away sad. Because really in our hearts, it's not there to love people. Amen? Following Jesus. He's our leader, guys. This is true discipleship. To sincerity. And pride, to faith and service, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. The change that Jesus made in our world. Amen? An enduring impact on our world. Amen? Keep looking. So, he was meek. He was what? Enduring. His impact was what? Enduring. He's now that has the crown of honor. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. I'm to be meek and strength under control. I'm to need to be a person that has an enduring impact. Don't let me put you to sleep. Here's the last part and the most important part of this message. Here we go. Hang in here with me right now. Here we go. Jesus loved God with all of His what? And He loved people with all of His what? Do you think He loved God with all of His heart and loved people with just a little piece of His heart? No. He loved God with all of His heart, and He loved who? People with all of His heart. I want to talk to you about that. As far as discipleship goes, as a disciple, I'm to be meek. As a disciple, I'm to be a person that wants to leave a lasting impact, to be enduring, not just a flash in the pan. If you die today, you know you go to heaven. Okay, next. If you die today, you... How about slow down, would you, and be their friend? Did you hear me? Yes or no? Slow it down, Jack. Why don't you care about them instead of just walking up to them and asking the most intimate question that could ever be asked? And then writing them off because they say no, because they think you're goofy. Because you are goofy! I've done it, man. I've knocked on more doors, I bet you, than anybody in this room. The whole time I'm going, I look goofy. I'm sorry. How many have done it with me? Come on. You've done it yourself. Love people. Respect people. Honor people. Care for people. Take time for people if you want it to be enduring. Amen? That's discipleship. Don't let someone's soul be something on your list that you just check off as, well, I know my Bible, I pray, I do this, and I gave a track out today or talked somebody about Jesus today. No, you let talking about Jesus to people and loving people be the ultimate thing in your discipleship and all these other things as part of making this happen. Amen? Okay. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm called to love God and love people with all of my what? Heart. I'll be honest with you guys, I have a hard time not loving everybody in this town. You'd have to press me pretty hard to say, Gary Clark, you know you don't like that guy over there. Just you tell me that. You know you hate him. Honestly, I don't. I'm not thrilled with people's actions or their sins. But to say, I mean, I just can talk to anybody. It's not about me telling you that. I'm just trying to say that's discipleship. Amen? I am a disciple of Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus. And I'm just giving you a little hints or two about how I do it. Okay? Say. And I believe Jesus. Where'd I get ideas like that? Because I believe that's the way Jesus was. I don't believe He met folk that He didn't care for. Did you hear me? The ones He really didn't care for, have time for, were the insincere religious phony folk. He didn't have much time for them. Except time to set them straight. And go reach lost people. Amen? Say. That's what He did. Now, Mark says, this is in the Bible in many places, to love the Lord or God with all your heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's more than the whole Old Testament, everything you read about in there. It's more important to love God and love people. Did you see that? It's something this week I just wrote in my notes and I liked it after I wrote it. Heart beats everything. Heart beats everything. Say that with me. Heart beats everything. One more time. Heart beats everything. You give me somebody with some heart. They might not have a bunch of know-how, but if they've got heart, I got something. You hear me? Man, I tell you, if you get you a ball team, and they might not have all the knowledge and all that kind of stuff going on, but buddy, if that team has heart, and they'll listen to you, you can take that team that has heart and you can go out and whoop somebody's rear end. You hear me? I'm telling you that right now. Heart beats everything. Think of that. Remember that today. Heart beats everything. Yeah, but I'm this, or I was this Sunday school teacher. I was this person. I used to do this. I used to do that. Heart beats everything. Do you have a heart for God? Do you have a heart for people? Are you listening? Heart beats any resume you ever thought you had. Amen. Say. Or that I had. Do you have a heart for people today on the last Sunday of October in 2013? Say. If you don't have a heart for people, you need to get it. If you're following Jesus without a heart, you'd attend, man. Yeah, I know, it's so sad, isn't it? Poor fella didn't have a heart. And that's the way we come off to our world. We call ourselves a Christian. We don't have a heart, and we don't have heart to hang in there and stick with it and just stay steady and care for them even when it's hard. They see us come off as tinny. A lot of lost people say the church is just tinny. No heart. They really don't care. They're full of hypocrisy. The heart. What's the Bible say? Keep your heart with all what? For out of it are the issues of life. You got to have heart, man. Heart beats everything. My heart is the center of who I am. It's where everything comes together. It's where my will. I'm not talking about this beaten thing. I'm talking about the center of who I am. It's where my will comes from. My passion comes from. My true love comes from. My dedication comes from. My character comes from. My courage comes. Where does it come from? My head? Well, I read about character. Well, I read about courage. Well, I read about perseverance. That don't mean you got it. That just meant you read a book. Amen. Heart! Y'all listening? Heart beats everything, right? Come on. My heart is my rational, emotional, and what? Spiritual center. Who I am. Jesus loved God with all of His heart. He loved people with all of His heart. I'm to love God with all of my heart. I'm to love people with all of my heart. Heart beats everything. I've had people tell me before, Pastor, I'm not very talented. I'm not gifted. I can't do what you do. You ain't been called to do what I do. You've been called to have heart, man. Have heart! Everybody can have heart. Don't tell me you
I love it on the ball team. We got ball players on the team. They don't get to start. They're not the most talented. They're not the biggest. We got a couple of them are smaller. But I love it. I love it. I love it. I try to let them know you matter to us. You are the team. When you're on the sidelines, they can hear you in there saying, you know, offense, offense, come on, offense, come on, offense. They can hear you. They can hear you, man. And you're pumping courage into them. Did you hear me? And to see them take their role seriously. Wow. You don't do. The body is not all the foot or the hand or the eye or this or that or the mouth or what. The body of Christ is made up of all of us. But last time I checked, the hand needs a heart to help it. Amen? Say. You listening? Or heart to help the foot. Or heart to help the eye. You know, you got the eyeball. You got no heart. You just the eyeball. Amen? Say. I know this is deep theology. My heart is where will, intellect, feelings, and vision all converge in my heart. Jesus had heart. It makes that verse so clear, much clearer to me now. Love the Lord God with all your what? Heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? My heart's the source of my integrity and my character. That's why when you've been wronged, it's more than a law that you don't do wrong back. It's more than a law written in the Scripture. It's something inside of you that says, though you did wrong to me, now I want you to know I want to do wrong to you. You might not say that, but you know you're feeling it. But I'm not going to do wrong back. Why? Because of my knowledge? Because that's what the Bible says, Pastor. No. I've done a lot wrong that the Bible said. Amen? No, it's because it's in my heart. It's part of my character now. As a disciple of Christ, it's part of my character. To not do that. You understand? Yes or no? You see why heart beats everything? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is what? And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Heart beats everything. It's all about the heart. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, it's not that you don't have heart, but do you have a heart for God? Do you have a heart for people? That's being a disciple. Heart is where real energy comes from. I believe with all my heart. Did you hear me? It is heart that carries us through what? How many would agree with that? Stick your hand up in there. It was your heart that carried you through some of this adversity and mess you've been through in your life. And you go ahead, let's go ahead and say it. You want to either beat them to death or kill them. Let me see a couple of three hands in the room. Okay, like 9 of us. Okay. All right. It is heart which drives us to what?
Win.
Isn't that what it said of the war horse? And by the way, that quote, I changed it just a bit, but that's from some great Italian thoroughbred trainer. A horse runs with his lungs. He perseveres with his heart or fights with his heart, and he wins with his character. Fighting with your heart. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ might dwell in your what? Hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in, what? Huh. Love. Loving God, loving people. Discipleship, following Christ. Following Jesus Christ is a matter of heart. Without heart, you can quote me on this one, without heart, it is not possible to have passion, dedication, and an enduring impact on other people. You think about the number of times in your life that perhaps in what you do, people have walked away from you and the little thing it took for them to walk away. In coaching ball, I've had people quit because they didn't get to go in that inning.
It wasn't about the team winning the game. It was about them getting to get in. Do you understand? I thought it was about us winning that ball game, boys. I thought that's what we were working on here. Is that what we're working on? Say. Church, many times, somebody don't get their way, so they take the little ball and go home. You quote me. They don't have heart. You understand me? I mean, that's tough talk. But that's a little thing, what I'm talking about. You got big things in life you're going through, man. Heart beats everything. Amen? Love God with all your heart. Don't undersell how powerful that is. Loving God with all your heart and loving people with all your heart. Let me tell you something. Don't be surprised if you don't turn out to do great things for God, man. You hear me? That's powerful. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The heart. Though a host should encamp against me, say it with me, my what? Heart shall not what? See, you don't lose fear up here. You think about it and you run it around in your mind. Ooh, what if this happens? 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 Ooh, this could happen. This could happen. And all of a sudden it's got down in here. And you're sick to your stomach. And you're weak in the knees. And you ain't a dime's worth of good or nothing. Amen? Heart. Having a heart for God and for people. This is my thinking. This is what I feel. Having a heart for God and for people is what discipleship is all about. It's what it's all about. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. It means it's steadfast. It is planted. It is, man, my heart is just, man, it is on you, God. My heart is stationed on you. I'll sing and give you praise. I read this book on about 60 companies, leading companies in the world. Some were smaller, but did about 4 or 5 years of study in this book. And it's interesting. They wouldn't hire people in leadership positions if when they're doing their interviews, their psychological testing, however they go about doing it, they wouldn't hire them if they heard from them in some way, shape, or form, it was about them running something. Or getting something. Or being something. These successful companies want to know, you want to help us. You want to help us be something. You want to help us get something. You want to help us. See, it ain't about you. You matter, but you're on the team. The team doesn't revolve around you. That's secular. They call it, guess what? Heart. That's what they call it. Heart. They choose heart over head almost every time. They choose heart over head almost every time. We're talking big companies from Google to Zappos to all kinds of companies out there. They choose heart over head almost every time. No wonder Jesus chose these guys that look like losers that the Pharisees had overlooked. He said, guys, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You think fishermen have heart? Somebody tell me. Are you kidding me? Those boys had heart. And Jesus said, I know y'all don't know much, and that is the truth. However, y'all come on, and I'll show you. Amen? You getting it now a little bit better? At least from my perspective. So heart's not about me being something or getting something. It's about me doing something. Heart's about me doing something. And what is that something? It's following Jesus. And what is following Jesus? Loving and reaching people. Guys, I know I beat that in your head, but why shouldn't we, if we're about to launch a big old new thing, I think we need all the heart talks we can get. Amen? Praise the Lord. Come on. Almost done. Jesus is excellent. He's ethical. He is enduring. That's what we've talked about over the last 3 weeks. If I follow perfection, that's Jesus, I can catch who? Excellence. Don't forget, that's what Vince Lombardi said. Coach Vince, but he didn't put that Jesus part. We stuck that up there because that's true perfection. Amen? Jesus Christ, the crown of honor, the crown of glory. I close with one last thing, right, Raj?
If you don't mind, here it is. I was sitting down this week, writing, thinking about fellowship. I want this to be a place of heart. Would you say that with me? A place of, one more time, a place of, now we've learned heart isn't just sweetness. Heart's a place down here. I want that. That's what I want this place to be. I think we have it. I think we can do better. And I wrote this. I always want Fellowship Church to be a great place to come. A place where we feel loved and know that we matter. A place where we can laugh and cry. A place where we can learn to follow Jesus Christ and also walk so others too can become Christ's followers. A place where we are real and not clones. A place where we always remember that we are flawed and desperately need Jesus Christ and each other. No one has to get me out of bed on Sunday morning to come see you. I come here because there's something that burns inside my heart. But I also come because when I come, I feel a lot of heart. You understand? That's what I want this place to be. And always be. By this shall all men know that you're my what? My what? My what? If you have what? One for another. We can sure get that discipleship thing all screwy if we don't watch it. It's really about following Him. Following the leader. A leader we can follow because He's awesome. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is that it, Raj? Thank you. Praise the Lord, brother. Let's thank the Lord for the message today. From the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord.